Four, let's go.
Okay.
All right, I am recording.
Fantastic
my
four.
Wiggles are squiggling.
All right.
Don't need no more. And yet, except when we have the Future Foundation and we do have more.
Yes. All right, well, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm one-third of this pod. I'm David.
Yes. And yeah, today
we're not doing that yet.
No, we're not doing the Patreon episode yet of Fantastic Four.
We're getting warmed up for the Patreon, so here is an early Patreon plug for this episode.
Let's just say that I have shot a flare in the sky. It shot like a big flaming four.
Let's just say it's a revolting development.
Mm. Oh yeah. Truly, after suggesting this episode, that after making everybody watch this episode, I am no longer the idol of millions.
That is correct, sir.
I'm gonna have this Yancey Street gang on my tail.
It's bad. It's real bad.
It's hard to describe the badness. It's not the worst thing we watched, but it feels like the worst thing we watched.
Let's just say it's clobbering time for your will to live.
But we'll get to that in the Patreon episode to be coming out soon.
No, today we are talking about Rescue Bots Academy. This is episode 45, Screen Time, and it's all about those kids and their phones.
Those gosh darn kids and their gosh darn phones.
Wait, what year did this episode come out?
2019.
2019, okay. In a way, that feels late for that trend. But another way, yeah, this is spot-on timing.
I mean, it did take a while before people were giving smartphones to their kids.
I guess?
Yes.
And even, like, I know my nephews didn't get them until they were, like, 10 to 13.
Yeah, I'm scared of the idea of, well, I don't like the idea of teenagers in general having cell phones, but... A child under 10 doing what? Who knows what on a phone? Like,
yeah, my nephew's got one that's like severely limited in what he can do. Like he can text like his parents and like my mother.
Yeah, my younger nephew has one that he can join in the group chat on, and yeah. I don't know that they're doing much else. I do know that they are not using the cell phone to, for instance, play some Yu-Gi-Oh! Video game, because every morning when I get up to play Animal Crossing, now that I have a Switch 2, there is something like a 1 in 4 chance that I will immediately be pounced upon in game chat and forced to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Some Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game.
So what you're saying is they get on there and then it's time to duel!
Yes!
I don't know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is at least a fun card game. I still haven't figured out Magic the Gathering.
Sorry, well, Jen, but you've just activated my trap card!
See how you feel about it when you have a 10-year-old explaining it to you? So, when you have not literally actually put your coffee in the cup yet.
Okay, fair, that would be annoying.
Sorry, Aunt Jen, but you've made a costly mistake! I know that they are...
XYZ monsters showed up, there's decade more shit since then.
Yeah, I know that there is at least the children that I know are not playing like games on their phone that they could be playing on better systems. Which is good, because I have so many opinions about the mobile gaming ecosystem.
Yeah, they just I don't understand how you do any controls on them. No, it's good for turn-based, that's about it.
I play one match three game that's like 11 years old, and that's it.
My coworkers have judged me immensely for putting Uma Matsume on my phone and playing it for like 2 days and losing interest, but that doesn't matter because Jen still has the waifu game on her phone.
Now, if I remember correctly, that is that's the fifth taste, right?
No, it's the one with the horse girls.
Yes.
Okay. So by horse girls, are they like BoJack Horseman or like centaurs?
No.
Neither.
Basically, they are based on real race horses.
Yes. All of them.
Like real life race horses. It's basically, it's like a racing game except the horses are just anime girls with tails and cute little ears that flick sometimes.
Yeah, they're cat girls with horse ears.
Yeah, it's like cat girl level of Anthro.
So yeah. It's like Hitalia, but instead of Nazi Germany, it's Secretariat.
Yes. Yes, it is like that.
Fascinating.
Well, mostly current living, there's been some recent deaths of horse girls in-game, which is very sad.
Wait, do they die when the real horses die?
No, they have not done yet. People have suggested that, because one died, like, in the last week, and they're like, saying, you should retire this horse. We love her dearly, but it is very weird that she's still in-game when she just died. Well, he just died, because most of the horses are male.
And also, when they break a leg, do they have to take the girls out back and shoot them?
No, but when they win a race, they have to put on an idol concert.
Oh god, that part is crazy. I didn't realize that until this year, because the game has been out in Japan for ages, and there was an anime, but I didn't realize after you won a race, you put on an idol show in your game as you're staring at it's just
in
weird.
My defense, the gaming journalists that I had read writing about this game were primarily women.
So
yeah, there's
like
a lot of ladyship.
It's apparently a very, very solid horse racing game, and horse racing game enthusiasts are just extremely disappointed that it has to be a waifu game.
So is this like a nefarious way to get today's youth into horse racing?
Possibly.
Apparently, okay, there is gotcha and gambling. That is a weird undercurrent of this entire thing. But, like, they're based upon real horses, so they're using the real stats of the real horses. Like Goldship, who is a troll and great.
Yes.
Like, so, like, in a couple years, are we going to see, like, today's Uma Matsume enthusiasts at the Kentucky Derby wearing giant hats and drinking mint juleps?
That is entirely possible.
But this is way better than any of those other things. This is just, like, people that like horses, like... Oh, there's so many fun, crazy things. I saw someone who bought a racehorse, which is insane. Okay, my favorite weird thing about this entire thing is because it's been popular in Japan for years.
Uh-huh.
But now it's popular in the English-speaking world, and the Japanese fans were, like, checking out, like, what the Americans are saying. And for a few days, they were confused about, what is a glue factory? And people had to explain that. And it's like, oh my god, what?
They discovered that, once again, Americans are barbaric.
I don't even know that they do the glue factory thing anymore.
No, it's just a joke, because, like, if you have a horse that loses a lot of damn races, and you just type out on Twitter, you're going to the glue factory, and Japan's like, what?
The what now? What does that mean?
I think there was an equivalent joke in Japan. Oh, yes, because it is legal in Japan to eat horse meat.
Okay, so then they're just going to the butcher.
There's an equivalent joke, yes.
Okay.
It's educational.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure they eat horse. You know, it's like that movie. They eat horses, don't they? Anyway.
Yes, raw horse.
Well,
it's weird.
It's the land of sushi. They
horse
make
sushi.
It adventurous.
Delicious.
Over there.
Anyway. Our digression about things that are on cell phones.
Cell phone gaming.
Let's have the kiddos with cell phones.
Is this what the kiddos of Rescue Bots are getting into? Are they like, I don't know, like turbo horse games on their phones? Who knows?
God, well, Hotshot would absolutely be playing Uma Matsume.
Yeah, possibly. The only game we saw was like, it reminded me of Columns from the old.
Yeah.
It was a sort of pseudo Candy Crush kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a puzzle game. So probably they're not, like, secretly stealing Heatwave's credit card to buy several thousand dollars of in-game currency.
Yeah, because those things were around in 2019,
which
but
is
not as prevalent.
My biggest issue with the whole mobile gaming ecosystem is it's just...
Yeah, it's just...
Microtransaction obsessed. There's a parallel world where mobile gaming actually developed into a legitimate platform, but we do not live in that world.
No. Hotshot World.
Voice, Medics, and Wedge. They'll team up together, we'll give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy.
So we are our pals. They're sitting down. They're getting a lesson on Earth culture, and unfortunately for Whirl, they are not learning about Groundhog Day.
Aw, she wanted to know if all the animals get their own day, which is a valid question.
Yeah.
No, today's lesson is about your darn kids and your darn phones.
Now, the humans that we see using phones here are generally adults.
Yes. I mean, Cody is like a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess Wes is a little younger.
As I guess?
He is still, he's a teen pioneer.
Yeah.
As opposed to a lad pioneer. I feel they needed some sort of archaic name for teen.
Oh, that's right. Does that mean I can't ship it?
Yeah, I think that's a problematic age gap there, Jen.
Fair. Give it a few years, that's fine.
Plus, also, I think Frankie would kill him.
Yeah.
Science. She'd make it look like an accident. Like, oh, one of my dad's inventions again.
That's the best way to do it. We don't know that they're together. Frankie could be gay.
I mean, possible.
Oh yeah, do we see Frankie again ever?
She is going to turn up a couple of times.
Okay.
Trust me when I say that it is entirely possible and in fact somewhat normal for young lesbians to have a unusual number of male friends.
Well, it's an unusual number of them to be robots.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so Boulder tells everybody about the evils of the smartphone, so and you're going to all get them, but don't do not become addicted to them. Lest
and they're
you,
just immediately staring at them and not listening to them.
You know, Whirl discovers that they can play music, and then she's sending a TikTok of herself to other recruits.
Yeah, I don't know how she was doing that since the phone was on the ground. It was weird, but it was cute to see her edge trimming with her rotor blades.
Yes.
I need some of that for my yard.
And Hotshot gets run over with his own Zamboni.
Because he's watching Wedge's watching Whirl's TikTok.
It's not a Zamboni for ice. He was using it like on their indoor track field or something.
It's like a floor buffer. Do you have those robotic ones at Walmart's?
Yes. I used to see them a lot more often when I went out to, like, when Walmart was open 24 hours and I went out in the middle of the night. But I do occasionally see them running during hours when I'm there.
Yeah. I just go in the morning. So, it's like a mini Zamboni with, like, a cute little face on the front.
Yeah, I think I saw one of those somewhere. I don't think it was a Walmart. Then again, I don't think my Walmarts are open 24 hours.
Anyway, meanwhile, Medix is having a full-on crisis because Wedge is putting him on Reed.
On Reed? I always heard it Medix on Red, but I've never entirely understood the verbiage of that thing anyway.
Yeah, I assume it's Red because it's past tense, because it says that your message has been read. But yeah, Medix is looking at his phone, and Hoist asks why he's staring at his phone, and Medix says he sent Wedge a message, and he's waiting for a response, and it's been a while. And Hoist says, he just responded to me. And I'm like, oh no, Medix is left unread. Harsh.
And Wedge is playing the game, mentioned columns.
Candy crushing.
Candy crush thing.
Yep, they're playing their Candy Crush thing.
And then everybody is just too busy looking at their phones during the game or during class to look to any attention.
So they are dumped into a training exercise and they have completely lost the thread of what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, because Heatwave pretty much says, I'm about to tell you something that's going to be extremely important to the latter half of this episode. Everybody's texting.
Yeah. Everybody's playing Candy Crush.
It is still weird, like, that Medix gets roped into this. Well, without specifying some specific thing that Medix gets obsessed with, since he's sort of autistic-ish.
Well, I mean, he might be the kind of guy getting, like, hyperfixations, and he might be in, like, a Wikipedia wormhole.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like, if they specified what he was obsessed with on the phone...
He also seems like the kind of guy who might find that he's way better at communicating with people in text than in person.
Well, yes.
Also that. And I bet he's the guy, kind of guy who, like, ends all his texts.
Yes.
So he's mad at them, but he's just, that's just proper pronunciation.
Yeah, that's just proper grammar.
We're in the danger room. Tough luck, Chuck. He's trapped in a cave, and so you gotta get to the top of the mountain. Like Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger, except you don't have to fight John Lithgow.
Aw, it would be better if John Lithgow were there.
Get out of here, rescue bots! Can't you see we don't need you anymore? Get out of here!
I was trying to find a way to work that in, but I couldn't. Thank you.
Anyway, so, you know, gotta get to the top of the mountain. So they try and take every tunnel that goes up, and they invariably all lead to dead ends.
Yeah, but half the dead ends seem to lead to, like, this weird mural carved into it, as if this is an ancient temple and you have to solve a puzzle.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I feel like Olmec has sent them on a mission, and now they'll never find the secrets of the lost temple.
It really looks, the whole thing, just like going down in a cave. These are Dwemer ruins from Skyrim, is what this feels like. It feels like...
Yeah, there should have been like a mechanical dwarf wandering around.
Fell into a cave in Skyrim, and you're in these old, ancient dwarven ruins, and there's maybe a robot. Except they're the robots.
Anyway, so time runs out, and Heatwave is like, hey, what I said was, sometimes you might have to do something you don't expect to do. You're not expecting. It seems counterintuitive to do the mission. So if they had gone to the tunnel that goes down, they would have found a way to get up.
But I think in one shot we see, like, a tunnel that's below them. And it's a tunnel through a giant skull face.
Yes.
Well, that seems like that's the unexpected thing, is to go through the tunnel that's a giant skull face.
It just, like, most of their things are video game-like. This one feels the most like, oh, somebody took this out of a video game. This is a video game stage ported into the danger room.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe fabulous powers will be revealed to them.
Maybe.
Maybe they'll find King Kong.
Ooh, or Donkey Kong.
Or the Phantom.
Oh.
Well, going down to find Donkey Kong would make a lot of sense currently.
That's true.
The Phantom had a skull base?
Is this a style play skull or something?
I don't know. I didn't know he had
he's skull famous.
Yes, I know. I know he's got the ring and the belt buckle and is the Phantom at night, but I thought he just had a cave.
It's like Skull Cave or something. It's skull
just
themed.
A normal cave.
I never actually read it. I saw the movie, I saw the cartoon, that was it.
Oh, right, Phantom 24?
Yes. Which was that a Peter Chung one?
I think so. It's got like a crazy voice guy, like Deborah Harry's in it for some reason.
Wow. Nice.
That might be a stay tuned for a future Patreon.
Yeah, probably.
You know I love to slam evil.
I'd be up for things with Debbie Harry in them.
And then I'll be talking about my man Billy Zane.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Ooh, also, Catherine Zeta-Jones in that that movie.
Or you just watch the movie.
Also possible. Anyway, and of course that movie is about crystal skulls. The Phantom, I'm afraid he is violating Jen's corollary that you have to have some sort of like death or necromancy powers if you're skull themed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... Yeah, he's pushing it a little bit. Not as bad as Taskmaster, but he's pushing it a little bit.
I mean, I guess he's the Phantom, so like ghost, skull, sorta.
Yeah. Well, and he's early enough that he kind of gets away with it.
And of course he is the ghost who walks.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And yes, he does have a skull cave.
Okay, I knew it. I knew there was skulls all over.
I knew there was a skull cave in there somewhere.
So anyway, speaking of caves... our pal Wes of the Teen Pioneers. He's on a hike. He's chatting to Cody on his smartphone. And, you know, you shouldn't drive while distracted. And it turns out you shouldn't hike while distracted either. Because he just wanders into this random cave.
Yeah, don't do that. That's how you walk off a cliff.
And then he, like, walks in.
Or into a cave.
That is, like, an actual thing with people hiking, isn't it? Where people are, like, texting or something. They walk off a ledge or something.
I don't know. I mean, where I tend to do the most hiking, there's not real good cell reception.
Ah.
So people are generally not on their phones because it's the sort of place where I am putting my Apple Watch Ultra 2's, like, extra GPS sensors to the test because I am off the grid. There's not too much. You know, there's probably a little of it in areas like maybe in California, where the hiking areas are closer to urban areas. That sounds like an LA adjacent problem.
Anyway, he just walks into this load-bearing pillar, and he's immediately in like a 127-hour situation. He's going to have to cut off his arm like James Franco.
Yeah. You got to keep a good, big, sharp knife on you, just in case.
To cut off your arm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, Jen is our resident knife expert.
Yes.
I did get a knife for stuff, but I haven't used it.
I'm sure she is aware of exactly what knife she would need to use to cut through human flesh if the need should arise.
I have a bright orange Mora knife, utility knife, with about an 8-inch blade on it. That I use as little as possible so that it's always extremely sharp in case of an emergency.
So anyway, the rescue bots are indeed sent out to find Wes. And, you know, it's really unfortunate because if, you know, obviously they promised that they'd leave all their phones behind. And if they had them, they'd be really useful. Surprise, they all brought them.
They all brought them.
Yeah.
They lied.
So they call them up, they start digging them out, and then they decide to take a selfie, at which point rocks start plummeting from the mountaintop.
Hotshot is the one who's obsessed with selfies.
Yes.
Of course.
Medics does not understand the concept. Why would I take a picture of myself?
No, he doesn't understand why you would want to take a photo of yourself, which, yeah, I'm there. I'm there, too.
Anyway, so they try digging more, and then they sort of take to heart Heatwave's lesson. They realize, hey, what if we reinforce the mountainside and then dug Wes out? And that works.
Yes, that is the unexpected thing. And then, yes, it all works. Because it's kind of a... what he's in is kind of like the entrance to a mine kind of cave.
Yeah.
And also they reinforce this by having Hotshot spray water on the mountaintop, and then World blows on with rotors, and helicopters do not work that way. Good night.
Yeah, no, and turns it to ice. Yeah. Look, they're trying their best. They gotta fudge things a little. They gotta fudge physics a little for this.
We're in, like, Superman super breath territory here.
Yes. Yeah.
She's one step away from using her rotors to rebuild the Great Wall of China. Or, I don't know, Hotshot's going to pull out those cellophane S's from the end of Superman 2.
Yes. I do what like that they find where the cave is by calling Wes's phone. Because
yes.
That is the generally understood way of finding a phone.
Yeah, normal triangulation. The cellophane S makes more sense to me than the eye lasers that reassemble bricks.
I mean, I guess. I feel that the cellophane S's are something that maybe you should have established perhaps earlier in the film.
Yeah, it's pulling shit out of his ass. But it's that's classic Superman, new powers all the time.
Well, I guess.
I wonder if he uses the eye lasers to assemble Lego sets. Ooh.
I mean, surely he could just, like, read the instructions super fast and then put the kit together in, like, seconds, which is a real bummer when Lois just kind of wanted to, like, chill out and spend the afternoon assembling one of those, like, floral sets.
Yeah, that seems like it kind of ruins the fun.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to our next episode, World's Wisebot Quest.
Ooh.
That's a mouthful of a title.
Yeah, sadly that is not about
her... With a hyphen!
Yes, sadly that is not about her attempt to find Mo from the Three Stooges.
a wisebot,
eh? First aired November 9th, 2019, written by Mark Seal, last seen in these parts writing Battle of the Bots.
All right.
And yeah, we're in the danger room here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. The danger room we're in, we're in like a big crevasse, and World is having to...
We are not in the field. We are in the danger room.
The world's really trying to get into this crevasse, and...
By going sideways down.
Yes, which I don't know that helicopters can really do that.
No?
Yeah, I'm going to write it off as Cybertronian nonsense.
I think helicopters can do that, like they turn up and can hover like that for a little bit before they just fall right down.
Right.
But it's not something you turn into. You have to fly straight into
No, this is something that happens curve. And then like James Bond attaches, like, throws a chain onto your tail rotor, and then you explode in spectacular fashion.
Yes.
And he has to avoid, like, the flying rotor blades.
Yeah.
Yeah, helicopters do not normally work this way, but I guess Cybertronian helicopters are special.
Yeah. So she ends up falling, Blades has to catch her, end the exercise. You know, everybody's fine with it, but, you know, she's really hard on herself, and she's really got to try this, and she tries it a second time, and that doesn't work either.
She's decided that she can no longer do anything Rescue Bot related until she makes this one thing work.
Yes. And so, you know, but Blades tells her, listen, you know, there was a whole cartoon about how I was pretty much terrible at everything. It ran for like 100 episodes.
Oh my god, he had so many problems.
I remain afraid of flying, the main thing that I do.
He's like, it's okay to not be perfect at everything, or to not be even all that good most of the time. He's the best at watching TV.
Yes. So listen, why don't you consult the Wise One, who is a rescue bot guru who lives in a valley beyond Persistence Peak Mountain.
Has that mountain existed in previous anything?
I don't believe so. Well, I think maybe it's not... We're not on Griffin Rock. We're on the mainland here.
Okay. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. So she sets off. The other... And doesn't tell anybody where she's going. But everyone finds that there is indeed a map there.
It's a very questy-looking map.
Yes. So they think she's, you know, she's so sad about being bad at this one thing that she's quit. So they're trying to find her. So while she's on her way, she does various good deeds. So she helps some foxes.
They're so cute.
Oh yes, the fox designs are really adorable.
And then she helps some hikers who are indeed, by doing so has to do this sideways maneuver thing.
Yep. Hmm. So it comes in handy, but it's not down a crevasse. It's just next to the mountain, so it's.
Yes.
Part of what she was trying to do before.
Well, in trying to find out if helicopters can fly sideways, I found more pictures of them flying upside down.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And one article trying to explain it that really just sounds like it's written by AI, because each paragraph seems to be the same one rewritten over and over.
Yeah, there's a lot of that on the internet nowadays.
So I can't tell.
Welcome to the internet. We no longer can just answer questions.
Okay, and I think it's when the kiddos are following Whirl. I have a note that just says, on we go, but spelled on we.
Oh. Yeah, because it's too high to fly up with this mountain, so she's going to have to walk. And so they walk too. And so eventually she does find the wise one, who is just Blur doing a voice and covered in vegetation like he's the Swamp Thing.
Yeah, yes, Blades is doing a very, like, Transformers 1 Alpha Trion costume sort of thing, yes, here. So he's all covered in vines, yeah, and moss and stuff. And
yeah, my note is Swamp Blades.
Well, you see, we think that, but it's actually just a bunch of plants that absorb Blades' memories.
Oh, no.
And she's going to have to gain this wisdom by eating a tuber that grew off his back. Alan Moore Swamp Thing, everybody.
Yes.
I know. I love the twist. I only read a chunk of that as a kid. But I love the twist that, oh no, Swamp Thing is not the dude. It's just a pile of mush that thinks it's the dude. It's like, oh look, here's his skeleton. That's not you.
Good old Alan Moore.
So while this is going on, all these recruits just fall into another crevasse. A lot of crevasses in this episode.
A lot of crevasses, yeah, in this area.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's near a fault line.
Maybe.
In Maine or wherever the hell we are.
And so now she is going to have to use her sideways maneuver to extract these bots from this crevasse. And she does it.
Yay! She succeeds.
And then Blades is all, hey, that's great. You know, you successfully got the wise one's wisdom. And nobody figures it out except somehow Hotshot.
Oh my god, yes.
Because
that
there's
was
a
weird
twig on Blades' head. I love the twig on his head.
Yeah. But it's just, it's hard to tell if it's like inconsistent writing.
Maybe no one else was invested enough. Maybe everyone else was like, yeah, sure, that seems legit.
I mean, maybe everybody else was thinking, well, listen, how could Blades possibly be so stupid as to think that putting a bunch of plants on himself and doing a funny voice would work? Whereas Hotshot is that stupid.
Yes.
Well, yes.
He's like, that's a totally reasonable thing to do. It's absolutely how he would have done it.
All right, and that does it for our rescue bots for this week. I enjoyed both of these episodes. I think I enjoyed the second one more just because it's so goofy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean the first one was a little like lesson-y, which,
yeah,
I don't know. Sometimes those work, and sometimes it's just like, sure, great, but don't give children in this TV show's target audience cell phones yet. They're not ready. Their little brains are not baked enough.
Yeah. It.
I always like a Blades-centric episode. I like him, yes, being in the forest all covered in plants.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the episodes that focuses more on an individual original rescue bot teaching a lesson to the kids. Those tend to be some of the best.
He's not good at flying, but he's good at theatrics.
Yes.
Yes.
He definitely got this plot from something he saw on TV.
He's the best boy.
And yeah, so that is that is it for us for Rescue Bots. As we'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action as we go both into space and into the deepest depths of the ocean.
Those are like the opposite kinds of things. As someone should have told the guy who designed that mini submarine based on spacecraft specifications.
Oh dear.
Yeah. You know the one. The one that imploded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's design it so it'll keep the pressure inside the vessel. That's like, the wrong way for underwater.
Did you know that space and the deep sea are actually extremely different?
The one where James Cameron took one look at it and said, nope.
Yeah.
I think
there was
and
a
if
thing.
There's
that,
one
like,
thing you should ever listen to James Cameron about, it's submarines.
Yeah.
If he says no, do not get in that submarine.
No.
Yeah, no, they need to be, especially for the depths of the thing. I think I remember hearing something that it would be theoretically possible to convert nuclear submarines for space travel, but that may just be like industrial standards, and they're not designed for maximum depths.
Yeah.
Now, David, when you heard that, was that a thing you heard, or were you half asleep and watching episodes of Space Battleship Yamato?
Possibly. I mean, although that was actually a spaceship built inside the husk of a battleship.
Right.
It just, like, the battleship was the outer coating.
What about Super Dimension Fortress Macross, which has those...
Is it also a submarine?
That was a spaceship to begin with.
But it's got those big battleship arms.
Okay, they did convert the battleships. They later do have battleships of similar design in space, so I think the idea was they were constructed... They're like the prototypes for stuff they were using later, I think. Or at least one of them was. Whatever. I don't know if they ever put people in those anyway. They just use them to punch things.
Yeah, I don't know that that was part of the extensive residential part of Macross.
Yeah, the residential block was right in the middle that had to transform all the time.
Yes. So that they could have great animation of it transforming in the middle of the residential block.
Yes.
What a fun show.
All right. But, of course, you can find us all over the internet until then. We are on Facebook. We are on Mastodon. We are on Blue Sky. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. I know our hosting's about to go up a couple dollars because everything is going up a couple dollars right now. So I may have to get out there and plug our Patreon a little harder on the socials. But every month, for as little as a dollar a month, you get our special... we do a special episode, you know, since we don't run ads normally, we can't do like an ad-free stream. So we do a special thing. And it's something... a lot of times it'll tie into something else that is a big deal. So for this month, what we are gearing up to record after we finish this, in honor of Fantastic Four First Steps, with the Fantastic Four finally making it into the MCU, with enormous CRTs that I have strong opinions about. just billboard-sized CRT technology. But no, we are going to watch a much, much,
much,
much worse iteration of the Fantastic Four. We are going back to the 90s cartoon with an episode that Rob cherry-picked for us for maximum pain. So yes, we will be talking about the Super Skrull episode.
Listen, my intention was to curse my name as Dr. Doom curses Reed Richards's.
I was definitely by the end of it, especially at the end of it. There's the last note in my podcast notes is just all caps, no. So that's going to be a real fun episode. And then next month is September. Do I get to do September? Do I get to pick September?
You do, although I will note that there's a new MCU movie coming out on Disney Plus in September.
That's true, and I do really like it.
Oh,
yes.
So that may be hard. I'm going to have to choose between the birthday cake and the birthday ice cream. between making more people watch the leaked Micronauts cartoon and Ooh. Talking about Thunderbolts. But a decision will just have to be made.
Yes. Well, and I will note we're also coming up with a between series episode.
Oh, that's fair.
That would be excellent fodder for Micronauts.
That would be a perfect time because originally our between seasons was to check in with something else contemporary to what we had been watching. Mm-hmm. And as the Micronauts show was supposed to come out in 2019 and 2020, that would be contemporary with Rescue Bots Academy. It's I believe, supposed to be, like, in aligned continuity.
I think so.
So, if you are curious what I am talking about, you can go over to our last episode of Iacon Underground Radio, where for our discussion for the episode, there wasn't a lot of news, so I just got to talk about Micronauts and what Micronauts are and why you should care about this series coming out. but in addition, it's just, it's real good. I'm taking it slow. I'm most of the way through season two, and it's just A+ excellent stuff. But it is up on YouTube now because Hasbro allowed it to be uploaded. So make of that what you will. But this month, not so good. Not good. Not good at all. So patreon.com/IaconUnderground if you want to hear our deep hurting this month.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.